This episode of the Wrestling Wrestling Podcast is brought to you by Baymaya. If you're not familiar with what Baymaya is, listen up, guys. Baymaya is a free mobile wallet app available on iOS and Android, so everyone can get Baymaya. And get this, if you download the app, you better be using our code WWPayMaya. Once again, that is WWPayMaya. You'll get 50 pesos on us for free just when you download the app. In this time of social distancing, you can securely pay for your groceries, your bills, and even send money to your loved ones in a non-contact and cashless way. And I think that's the type of innovation we all need in this new normal. So remember, don't pay cash, pay Maya.
What's going on? This is Xavier Woods, aka Austin Creed.
I said, give me a hell yeah!
Hey, this is Zeta Zane.
Hey, everyone. This is Jeff Cobb.
Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte.
Talent is not sexually transmitted.
Hey, this is TJP, the Phil-Am Flash, and you are listening to Stan, Ro, Chino, and Camos on the Wrestling Wrestling Podcast.
You are listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Wrestling Wrestling Podcast on Podcast Network Asia. Stan C, Ro Moran, Raf Camus, and Chino Liao together again recording MECQ Season 4.
Technically, it's a new season, right? Because it's a new
MECQ.
It's a spin-off. With yeah, this spin-off territory.
So we're in Joey territory.
Yeah, but at this point, none of us have gone back to work.
I've been working this whole time.
Have you been going to the office? Yeah.
No.
Pero may mga tao who have gone back to work.
Yeah, didn't you go to the office?
I did, pero just once. I just had to go get yung song files namin. And it turns out I never even needed to do that kasi everyone was just in a panic na, oh, what are we gonna do once we go to MECQ, once that happens and whatever. Instead, we all just figured out na we can probably keep broadcasting on Wave from home at this moment. So, yun lang ginagawa namin ngayon. But I have been working throughout May, so that's something I'm actually thankful for, which is more than I can say for some other people. So, you know.
Yeah, that's good. At least you have something to do and, you know, you're not a total bum this whole
yep.
time.
I know Camus isn't a bum either. How about you, Camus? How have you been keeping yourself afloat?
You know, there are just some days. it's a slog. Like, the past few days have been a slog. It's hard to talk about, it's hard to do my kind of work where it's all COVID all the time and it hasn't stopped. And like, I just, this week is the first time in a while now we're doing something not virus outbreak related or outreach related, sorry, not outbreak. Haha. But yeah, so that's it. Like, I don't have to leave the house, but it's tiring.
Ikaw, Chino, have you gone out of the house in a while?
No, not at all. Not for the past 2 months.
There's no reason for you to. McDonald's comes to you.
Yeah, exactly. There's no reason for me to leave, so I don't leave. My family, the family that is here, got a guy to run errands for us. So one of our messengers who needed a job still and is, you know, pretty healthy. Wanted to work, so we gave him, like, he's now our errands person, so if we need something from the market,
you got a runner boy.
Yeah, basically he does it for us kasi puro senior citizens kasama ko dito sa bahay, like my aunts and my uncle are, they are not young, and my cousins are, you know, pretty young still, so they don't really want to leave a house as much as possible.
Yeah, so that's how we've all been trying to get by.
Not going out. Sorry, Chino.
No, for sure. Nababato kami lahat. But, I mean, look, it's a Wednesday today. Yesterday was a Tuesday. If it were a normal Tuesday, I would have gone to open mic. I would have gotten a haircut by now. But those things aren't possible, diba? So, you just... do I want to go to the mall? Sure, but do I want to not die more? I want to not die more than go to a mall, right? So all you people going to malls, think about that before you step inside an SM.
Yun, hindi ko maintindihan eh. Like, I don't understand bakit sobrang kating-kating yung mga tao na lumabas at pumunta ng mall. I mean, if you have to go to the grocery, go to the supermarket, diba? Or go to your market, go to your grocery. Sure, I'm not gonna stop you. But for everybody who's just itching to step inside these malls, man, hindi ko talaga maintindihan.
Yeah, dude.
No, I get it. I totally get it, though. It's, you know, something you miss. It was a huge part of our lives before the disaster happened. And, you can't really blame anyone for missing these places wherein we had some, you know, good or, you know, okay memories. And yes, it's terrible. It's reckless. But at some point, you do have to go. You have to go somewhere to stop yourself from going crazy.
I don't know. I just don't feel safe. I don't feel like I have peace of mind just stepping out of the house. I had to go out of the house today just to get something from a Lala Move guy for something in order ng parents ko. And even then, alam yung sobrang planning na ako. When I went home, I just took everything off and ran straight to the showers and stuff. So I can't have that paranoia out of me because of how mishandled everything has been. And then you have good old Diebold saying, oh, let's just move on, and getting pardoned by the president. I don't understand it. I don't understand how people are still okay with this.
Oh, you know what really sucks? Before coming on this call, it was it's Duque who's saying that we're under a second wave now. And, well, how can you actually say, right? Fuck this shit, man.
Yeah, so we're probably going to be bitching about this still for the foreseeable future. So yeah, I really miss the studio. I miss being able to go out. I miss the bars and the restaurants that we would hang out at.
I miss seeing Ryan's face.
I miss the locker room of Power Max Center Spotlight. I miss all of these things, but we still can't have any of these things now.
You know what I miss right now is just a proper haircut. Like, you sit down for the experience of a haircut. So Bruno's barber somewhere, diba? And they give you the hot towel after, and they rub your shoulders after. That whole full cervix experience, I just miss that. Like, I know it won't be the same if I cut my own hair. Kasi gagawin ko masahing kay sarili ko, diba? Parang awkward nun. So I just miss the whole experience, which is why I've been so keen on saving as much of my money as I can, so that once Bruno's opens, that's the only time I'm leaving. That's it. Not for nothing else except for a haircut.
And a massage.
And yeah, the requisite massage after, sure.
Yeah, massage
and
sounds really nice.
Towel on
right
your
now.
Face.
Ah. I mean, when you watch Survivor and then the rewards come out and the survivors are like, oh, you're parang nagpa-food gas and sila. When the food is presented to them, like, that's us right now, imagining the basic services we get for granted, like haircuts.
Or one of the B-rolls they run of the castaways on the beach, just daydreaming about food that they miss.
For us, it's massages, and for the women, like manis and pedis, or just walking at the mall. That is the new normal. It is not normal at all. It is not fun. Even wrestling is not fun, and I hate
nothing
that we
is fun
about,
anymore.
I hate that we have to talk about wrestling under these circumstances, but. There is some news, and we got to start off with the disappearance of Chad Gaspard, former WWE superstar, best remembered for being one half of Crime Time alongside JTG. So over the weekend, he and his son were out at sea, and then a riptide happened, and both of them were at sea. They needed to be rescued, and Chad Gaspard's last act was to instruct yung rescuers to take his son. And I don't know kung anong full details of this, pero couldn't they have saved Chad as well, aside from his son?
No, they went one way with... They found both of them. And then,
No, wait.
Okay,
it was one lifeguard, kasi. So I was reading about this book now, and the lifeguard spotted both of them, and then he saw that one of them is huge, because Chad is a huge-ass 6'6" pro wrestler. he had to choose, or parang he was thinking in his head who he was gonna, or how he was gonna take both of them back to shore. But buti na lang Shad said na to take his son instead. And by the time they had gotten back to the spot, he wasn't there, or he was pulled under the surf. So that's the story of what happened.
So I'm just reading about this right now. This happened at Venice Beach apparently, and it was newly reopened. So I guess it was their first opportunity to go out and just enjoy the beach, and then nagkaroon ng ganitong aksidente, ganun.
Yep, basically.
Yeah, because riptides are not predictable, diba? They're not like tsunamis that just, you know, you can at least predict that. Ang pagkakalam ko sa riptide, they just happen from undersea currents, right? For those of you who know.
It's just something that happens. It's a freak thing.
Right.
It's one of those things that if you're far out enough at sea, that's deadly. Like, even if you know how to swim, riptides are gonna get ya.
Yeah, kasi tatangayin ka pababa nun eh, di ba? Pretty helpless by that point.
I guess I was just gonna ask kung, you know, why they were out there in the first place, but if it says na Venice Beach was newly reopened, then I guess yung, you know, these people were going through the same cabin fever we're going through right now, so they took the first opportunity they could to just go out and enjoy the beach.
It is upsetting that this happened this way.
So according to the news, the LAPD has called off the search. Pero may ano pa ba? Are there other rescue efforts like from the Coast Guard or whatever?
Nope. They did come in when they were able to call for backup, like immediately but after his son was saved. So it's one of those times na there is a sliver of hope until they find a body, like, that's knock on wood, but it's doubtful because you don't know.
Yeah,
undersea currents are a mess.
Yeah, I have the dad of my friend got swept by a flash flood during one of the worst tropical storms out here. I think this was Ondoy or Milenio. I cannot remember which one, but the body wasn't recovered, so, and that was just a flash flood. That was on land. So what more if you had the entire ocean to cover? It's a pretty tragic way to go out, you know, as far as ways to go are concerned.
Yeah, so right now he's considered missing. I don't know until when they're going to keep that status until they officially declared na wala na siya. But yeah, as Kamus said, it's pretty tough to find. Prayers and thoughts go out to Shad and his family. We just really hope they find the body.
Yeah, it's really tough. It's a really unfortunate situation to be talking about. Since we're on the downswing of things, I guess, I want to talk about Dark Side of the Ring and the latest episode, actually season finale, which aired a few hours ago on Vice. So it's about Owen Hart, and I was actually excited about this ever since I found out that the season finale was about Owen Hart. I first heard about the scope of this episode on the Talk is Jericho guesting of the producers and the directors of Dark Side of the Ring. So it's the first time since in over a decade, basically, that people are hearing from Owen's widow, Dr. Martha Hart. And I think it's also the first public comments of his kids, who are now adults, Oj and Athena. They're mm-hmm. right around our age, late 20s, early 30s. Owen's son is now a lawyer. Owen's daughter is a journalism major and is now pursuing a career in journalism as well. There are a lot of details that are very jarring that you'll hear from the documentary. And like tayo as wrestling fans, we've known the story about Owen Hart tragically passing away at Over the Edge in 1999. We know those details, right? But there are other smaller details that are revealed in the documentary na sobrang jarring, like the clip that they used. It's shown in the documentary. Dr. Martha Hart actually has the particular clip that was attached to Owen. Instead of using a rigging carabiner, ang gamit nila was a clip for the mast sa sailing.
Wow.
And it was meant to only support like 6 pounds. Ito yung tipong clip na dapat magre-release so it can release the mast in a ship. mm-hmm. or in a yacht or in whatever boat at sea. And the fact that whoever was rigging Owen Hart thought it could support a 240-pound dude. Like, what the fuck?
Man. Yeah, it's like, I haven't watched the whole thing, but I got to the part where JR comments about how, you know, he was asking Kevin Dunn about what's the status, and then Kevin Dunn actually tells him he's dead, okay, and you're back in 10, 9. Oh my god, that fucked
up. Yeah, that's messed up too. That's messed
up
too.
That is so fucked up.
It was a comedy of errors, yeah. It was, I think we all know now by now, as wrestling fans, we all know that it was a lot of negligence all around.
Yeah, pure negligence. Yeah. There's no other way to explain it.
Yeah, I came away from that episode of Dark Side of the Ring just feeling so deflated. I was chatting with you guys, sabi ko, you know what? I'm in a dark place after having watched that. I can't watch wrestling for the rest of the day. I had to go and turn on my PS4 para makapaglaro ng NBA 2K just to get my mind off it. Like, that's how dark it was for me. Now, we're already in this era of the pandemic, and there is little to any joy at all out of wrestling. And then I watched that, and I'm like, great, I'm back. It's really just depressing, but I also think it's really worth a watch in the sense na, if you've ever needed a time to just be informed about all these things, all these stories from the wrestling industry, now is as good a time as any to just lose yourself in this content.
Mm-hmm.
That's there's so much to pick up. So much to pick up, so many stories, so many points of view as well. Because you never really hear about the points of view of the people who were there, like D'Lo Brown, the Godfather, who were on that show. As we mentioned, JR, Jim Cornette also gives his point of view. I believe he was still in WWE at the time. Or Queen Diman, he at least knows Owen, having managed him professionally during Owen's career. And very interesting point of view nung widow ni Owen, because for the longest time, like there are rare public comments out of her. Mm-hmm. She goes into detail as well about how it really divided the Hart family. Now, we know that the Hart family has never been the same ever since yung tragedy na to. But one of the reasons why is because there were some of the brothers of Bret and Owen who actively got in the way of the trial, or actively got in the way of Martha pursuing evidence to sue WWE, thinking na I might need to work with Vince McMahon someday, so I can't like throw him under the bus like this. So imagine that.
Oh man, like it's layers upon layers. Like we said, it's like if the tragedy is layers upon layers, the family drama is another layer of all of this. And you coming from one of those, you know, the Hart family is one of the biggest names in wrestling. Like that group, that family, that entire entity is hard to, you know, ignore. And if they have to do what they have to do, man, love. It's
just a really, it's just a really sad story. Just a really sad story. I can't imagine a more depressing way to go out for this season of Dark Side of the Ring. And I think with every show I watch, every time umaabot sa finale, I just get all deflated, right? Because parang great. Now what am I gonna watch, right? Sobrang babaw na concern, you know, with everything else going on. But you know, this is just me. I'm thinking openly here.
Yeah,
so there. Those are.
Go ahead. Sorry. I just want to say that's actually one of the reasons why I have not gotten around to watching this season's Dark Side of the Ring. It's because from what you guys are saying, it's really fucking depressing. And I'm depressed enough as it is. So parang bat ka pa pagdadaanan yan, diba? So
it's called the Dark Side of the Ring for a reason. It's not called the Light Side of the Ring.
Yeah, it's
just, yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't watch it to like be happy, but I watch it to like learn shit. You know, like yeah. I didn't know about si Herb Abrams, yung promoter na estafador din pala. You know, like I didn't know about that story, or I didn't know everything there was to know about Road Warrior Hawk. So last week's episode on the Road Warriors was also pretty cool, right?
Yeah,
so.
I mean, there were things in season one that I appreciated, but this season two, if from what I'm getting, is a lot heavier than season one. So
no, Chino, just watch the new Jack episode. I promise you, it's
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
One you'll
okay,
see.
Okay, that's one I've been hearing good things about. So maybe yeah,
go watch it. It's funny at least.
See, yeah, the new Jack episode's pretty funny.
See, Xavier Woods talks about New Jack and Too Cold Scorpio a lot, so. At least that.
Yeah, because New Jack is a character, and if you listen to yung interview nung creators of Dark Side of the Ring, sobrang daling kausap ni New Jack. Like they were able to locate him and reach out to him, and they just asked him, "Hi, is this New Jack? Yeah, we're doing this documentary. Are you willing to be interviewed? Yeah, yun na, tapos na. Like wala nang kontrata, walang ibang tanong. Sobrang daling kausap. So you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, let's segue now to some other news going on in the world of wrestling and talk about Drew Gulak, whose contract expired over the weekend or sometime late last week. And as of now, he's not contractually connected to WWE. But the update there is that there are negotiations. Tama ba, Ro? Like they're under negotiation right now?
I don't know if they're currently under negotiations. All I read was that the negotiations aren't dead. And for all I know, those may be two different things. So what happened was that his contract expired after Friday night. And I think we all know that the last week's episode of SmackDown was taped a while back, no?
Yeah.
If not last month, last week after Money in the Bank, right? Because that's when
correct.
They taped the shows. So apparently what happened was that Gulak wanted a raise, and I think he deserved one a month after moving from 205 Live to SmackDown. And they didn't want to give him a raise, so instead of giving him a raise, they just pulled their original offer to him, and then voila, there's no more contract. So that's what happened there.
Yeah, kind of a weird time for this to happen, especially with the pandemic. You know, if he's not contract, kung nag-expire lang yung contract niya, that means there is no 90-day no-compete clause. So theoretically, if there were wrestling going on, like we probably would have heard of Drew Gulak appearing again on another promotion as early as now. But clearly, that's not the case.
Yeah, apparently, I think he wants to stay because he asked for a raise, right?
Yeah.
He wants to stay, so... They just don't want to pay him that, or they just don't want to pay him more because, they're trying to save money. They don't want to spend too much of it. But if he wanted to go to AEW and if AEW was interested in him, he has all the rights to do that because, he doesn't have the no compete clause right now.
Yeah, this news to me is shocking because literally minutes before I read this online, I was actually listening to Drew Gulak's interview on After the Bell with Corey Graves, and he just struck me as one of the most enthusiastic WWE people that I've ever heard. He was happy being part of the WWE, and he was happy getting to sit under the learning tree of guys like Bryan and even John Cena, picking their brains in backstage. So for me to hear this, I like Drew Gulak. I like seeing Drew Gulak. I like learning from I like hearing him tell us what he's learned in all his years in the indies, and then to suddenly not see him anymore. It's pretty jarring.
Yeah. So, let's contrast that with the news that came out about The Undertaker's new 15-year contract, which was reportedly signed last year after he was supposed to be booked for StarCast? Tama ba?
Yeah, StarCast 2. Yeah. That big event that sent shockwaves to say it was a non-WWE event. It would be the first non-WWE event he would appear ever. So apparently Vince got mad. Vince got mad at that and signed him to a 15-year contract that would, take care of him well into his old age.
Yeah, on one hand, I think it's a good thing. It's like Vince showing his loyalty to one of his generals, the guy who's been the locker room leader for the longest time. But at the same time, I kind of don't know how to feel about that, given that they're all trying to cut costs and they let go so many people. And Undertaker really only ever appears like once a year at this point, or maybe twice if you compare Blood Money shows, or if you count yung mga Blood Money shows.
The thing naman there is na it's the same. Who is the basketball equivalent of that? Like, who signed that 17-year Magic Johnson, diba? He had that ridiculous contract at the end of his career. Same banana with this. Like, it's just a matter of, well, we're gonna do this for this guy. Is anyone gonna complain? No, not really. Does it make sense? Absolutely not. But ayan, at this point, are you gonna shit on WWE for giving the one guy who stuck around through everything flack? I wouldn't.
I can only guess kasi on what the terms of the contract are, and we don't know. It could very well be, you know, just paying him per big WrestleMania appearance or, you know, Road to WrestleMania appearances, and then, you know, the rest is just merchandising. So maybe okay lang din for them to keep it because he's only going to appear once or twice a year, as you all said, right? So maybe it's okay. I don't know.
Yeah, ako kasi...
They thought it was worth keeping. Sorry, go.
Sorry. Ako kasi, with what I'm seeing here, especially with what I've seen from The Undertaker after watching the first ep of Last Ride, the reverence he has for Vince McMahon and the loyalty that he has for the WWE is unmatched. Like, you can talk about Roman Reigns and John Cena being true WWE guys, pero wala silang sinabi kay Undertaker. This Undertaker was just, even in his tenure in the WWE, he still treats Vince McMahon like his boss, more than his colleague. Like, he treats Vince with such reverence in the episode that it's very, very shocking. Diba? Because he's the Undertaker, and even he knows not to bite the hand that feeds him. And it's, if the WWE is going to go to bat for anybody, it might as well be the Undertaker.
Yeah, you can see that in how they're paying tribute to him now with The Last Ride. And it's also hilarious na halos sabay siya lumabas along with The Last Dance. And now, of course, everybody's comparing The Last Dance to The Last Ride. Now, for us wrestling fans, it's kind of on relative magnitude. Pero, come on, let's be real. The creators of The Last Dance were sitting on that footage for over 20 years. Itong The Last Ride, they've only been sitting on this footage for 3 years.
Yeah, but it's still stuff you never thought you'd see. Like, there's some people that it's like, okay, wait, shit, what? How do I frame this? For us, kasi, like the four of us here, we grew up seeing Jordan and seeing The Undertaker, and it's not one of those things that, you know, with Taker, now we're jumping so far back into what he's done. We don't know about that stuff. Like The Last Dance itself, the Bulls stuff. There's stuff there that you're just like, I never in my wildest dreams would think there would be footage of. Itong si Undertaker, it's like, it's still been within the realm of possibility. There's a camera backstage at after he loses, after that match with Triple H. I'd buy that, diba? And the subsequent WrestleManias, you can buy that because that stuff can be set up under WWE circumstances. But, it's not as impactful.
No, kasi ako, I've always, like, I didn't expect to see footage of The Undertaker talking to a young Kurt Angle, a young Chris Jericho, like they showed in that first ep. Kasi he was a guy, if you listen to the podcast, the Stone Cold interview.
The Stone Cold podcast, guy, yeah.
Diba? He was a guy who lived the gimmick, so he didn't talk to anybody. He tried to keep to himself. He was really quiet. He was just brooding in the background. He's like a tall dude. So nakaka-intimidate lumapit sa kanya. And when you see this footage of him being so sociable and talking and giving guys tips, it was very surprising to me that they had footage of that they put that on tape, because he seems like a guy who doesn't want to have anything on tape.
Yeah, nakakatawa yung isang scene dun sa part one where Undertaker's checking into the hotel that they were at for WrestleMania week. And then as he's checking in, right behind, and si Roman Reigns. And that was the year na silang dalawa yung magkalaban for WrestleMania. And then Taker looks at Roman Reigns and go, damn, man, you can't even keep kayfabe for 10 minutes. Tapos nagtatawanan silang dalawa. And then the concierge were laughing like they were in on the joke. It was really surreal to watch that happening. And then you have Michelle McCool just in the distance, or seeing Undertaker talk to lahat ng mga old timers, the Ted DiBiases and the Teddy Longs, and shaking their hands, and just, you know, just him being a human being.
Yeah, he was. He was.
Because he was never a human being. He was the Undertaker. Jokes. He was a goddamn undead wizard.
Yeah, they've really doubled down on the whole wala nang Undertaker, Mark Calloway ka na, and then you do whatever you want. Yeah. Like, you're only Undertaker in memory now. You're really actually just Mark Calloway, a 50-plus-year-old wrestler.
No, I think see Undertaker himself, as in the man behind the character, Mark Calloway, was just as much a part of it as WWE or as the documentary team was. Because even in that first first title card that says that in 2017, Mark Calloway finally allowed cameras to document him for a documentary or whatever. So even that, I guess you could see that he also felt that it was the end or that the end was about to happen. And then to see Chris Jericho, he's actually recorded as saying na parang na-feel niya na eh, and everyone sees it. So it's kind of weird to have this camera team following the Undertaker around. So yeah, when you watch it from that lens, WrestleMania 33 really would have been the perfect end to the Undertaker. And you know, knowing what we know now, it's just odd. Nah, he's still going, and we have this documentary to celebrate him when, you know, it's not really over.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're at the tail end.
So annoyed it wasn't. Sorry, go, Camus.
No, it's like, we know we're at the tail end, but it's not the end, diba?
No, but it should have been the end. It really should have been, because everything he did, the hat and the gloves in the ring,
That was it.
It really was emblematic of what should have been the end of his career. But syempre, Vince can't stop going to the well one too many times, and here we are.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate na Saudi had to happen, and you know, Goldberg and The Undertaker had that craptastic match that legitimately almost killed The Undertaker.
I mean, they brought Shawn Michaels out of retirement for Saudi, so to see The Undertaker put his life on the line for Vince, for Saudi, it's not surprising given how loyal he's been to the WWE.
Yeah. I haven't seen part two yet, and I think part two does cover that Goldberg Undertaker match. And then as the weeks go by, these next 3 weeks go by, we'll see the Last Ride reach its crescendo, for better or worse. So yeah. I'm gonna watch it, probably just not today, because Owen Hart and his story sapped all the joy out of wrestling for me for today, so I'm gonna have to recharge. Bukas na lang siguro. Right, are we ready to move on from The Undertaker?
Yeah.
All right. Let's finish off this episode of the podcast by previewing AEW Double or Nothing. Hindi ko na isip na it's already this weekend. So thank you guys for reminding me that there's actually a pay-per-view on Sunday, Manila time. So yeah, it's AEW Double or Nothing. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page right now, and the poster has Mike Tyson on it. But I'm guessing that this poster was pre-coronavirus.
Nope. No, it's not. He's involved. Dude, he's... What's he? He's not the special enforcer?
Oh, no. Yeah. He's presenting the TNT championship.
Yeah, he's presenting the championship.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he has actual... May papel siya dito.
AEW, this is what I find hilarious about AEW. They keep relying on these old timers. Not that, okay, Mike Tyson, if you've seen his latest Instagram videos, he can still kick ass.
He can still go.
He was back into fighting shape. It was so scary. But for this one, seeing Mike Tyson in another wrestling gimmick is just... Come on, stop ripping off the WWE. We get it. You're relying on old guards and old tropes. But come on, guys. You can do better.
Yeah, so Double or Nothing is taking place at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Paradise, Nevada. So that's near Las Vegas. And it's going to be in front of no audience.
Sorry, correction. MGM Grand Garden Arena is actually in Las Vegas. I don't know why they call it
that. Okay.
But yeah,
no. The strip is just called Paradise. That's officially the...
Oh, that's called Paradise. That's
the government name of the strip.
Okay.
right. Okay. Cool. So yeah, no audience. This is weird, as usual, as every wrestling event has been in the time of Corona. And we have 8 matches on the card. So let's go through them one by one. Starting off with a match I don't give a shit about. Private Party. 2 people I don't give a crap about versus Best Friends to determine the number one contenders for the AEW World Tag Team Championship. So, medyo silly to for me because isn't the point of rankings to easily determine the number one contender and aren't the Dark Order the number one contenders? Pero because they aren't competing because of the coronavirus, kaya may ganito, tama ba? Am I getting this right? Like the rankings don't matter as much
from based on
whoever available.
Yeah, based on last week's AEW, which I suppose, sorry, tama, it's not the last AEW before Double or Nothing, but based on last week's AEW, yun nga yung pagkaka-explain nila when it was Private Party versus Jurassic Express, if I'm not mistaken, and in commentary, yep. Excalibur actually explains that because...
Sorry, it was Best Friends versus Jurassic Express.
Sorry, yeah. Sorry. Best Friends versus Jurassic Express, and Excalibur actually explains that because of the virus, the Dark Order are put to the side and Private Party, Best Friends actually have a strong contendership for the title. So I don't know why they have to have this other match.
But I'm going with match like that.
Yeah, I say Best Friends. It's just
Best Friends.
I say Best Friends. Yeah,
because it doesn't feel like they're ready to make Private Party. They're put to put Private Party in that position.
No, Private Party hasn't really done shit. Like since the pandemic, they haven't been on TV. Itong last episode ng Dynamite, it was just them in the audience. So, yeah.
Yeah. So sorry, the argument can also be made that they haven't really done shit since facing the Young Bucks for that tag team tournament, diba?
Yeah, so I'm guessing true. It's the Best Friends time to win and be number one contenders. Quick question before we get to the main card. Is Double or Nothing AEW's equivalent of WrestleMania?
No, I don't think so.
I mean,
meron na ba? May equivalent na ba sila ng WrestleMania or wala pa?
Wala pa.
Okay, I just had to ask. All right, let's move on. MJF has a match with Jungle Boy. Yeah, pretty sure it's MJF's to win so they can reestablish him.
Yeah,
MJF. Yeah.
Agree.
Okay. Next up, you have another singles match between Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and Chris Statlander. This one looks exciting. I'm seeing this as a win for Dr. Baker.
Yeah.
Who has been great as of late.
They've been pushing her a lot. As of late. Yeah. Uh-huh. See, they've been pushing her a lot, and I feel like they're setting her up to be the next number one contender, whoever wins, and Shida Nyla Rose.
Yes, yeah. Let's talk about that because the Nyla Rose Hikaru Shida match is a no DQ, no count out match for the Women's World Championship. And for a match like this, given the story, parang feeling ko sobrang underdog talaga si Hikaru Shida. But why do I have the feeling that she's gonna win this one? So there's a feel good moment.
It's possible. I think they got what they needed to get out of Nyla winning the first time a few months back. So there is a good chance that this might happen.
Yeah.
Diba? It's Hikaru Shida winning, then Dr. Britt Baker becomes her next challenger.
Yeah, because those Shida Britt Baker matches have been pretty good. Like, yun lang yung isang match na hindi ko fast forward from the past AEW, even if it went like 15 minutes. It was pretty good. So if this happens, I'm excited.
All right. Yeah, let's move on to the next matches on the card. All right. We've got a casino ladder match for a future AEW World Championship match. So the contenders are Darby Allin, Colt Cabana, Orange Cassidy, Rey Fénix, Scorpio Sky, Kip Sabian, Frankie Kazarian, Luchasaurus, and TBD. So, hindi ko alam kung one more competitor or if may iba pang wrestlers na papasok dito sa match. I'm also not sure what they mean when they say future AEW World Title match. Anyway, is it like Money in the Bank? They
money can cash in the bank, anytime? Like, yeah. Well, basically, you would think so, diba? Parang it's not as clear to me also.
Yeah, it also makes sense because they're in an actual casino, diba? To put something like Money in the Bank where you bet everything on the line and you double down. So it makes sense to have a Money in the Bank type of element in it. With regards to who wins, I honestly can't tell you.
My pick is Darby Allin. They've also been pushing him quite hard for this past quarantine shows.
Yeah, and they're kind of hinting at a Darby Allin heel turn. First, when Cody had that confrontation, and then I'm not sure where they're going with Darby Allin and Taz, but I wouldn't be surprised if they swerve us all. Tapos yun pala, Taz is going to be Darby's manager as a heel.
Well, yeah, I would stand right behind that. That was good.
Yeah, so I'm predicting Darby Allin just like Ro did. Okay, Chino.
Sige, I would go Darby Allin, but for some reason, I feel like yung TBD yung mananalo, eh, like whoever that is.
Oh yeah, actually, may ganun
din. They might slot the somebody big in there.
Sino pa ba?
Yes. Who else is left na walang ginagawa? Like who else can they pull? Diba? Like unless that slot is. No, I was gonna say, unless that slot is freaking, what's it called? Drew Gulak. Then I'm cool with it. Diba?
Yeah, I was gonna say Pac. Or maybe Zack Ryder debuts.
No, but he's stuck.
Oh, yeah, maybe Zack Ryder debuts, yeah.
Or maybe Rusev debuts.
No, doubt it's Rusev.
Diba? No, you never know, man. You never know. So
Phoenix, I mean, maybe anything can happen in All Elite Wrestling.
Isn't that the promise?
Yeah.
No, anything can happen is the promise in basically any TV show. So, like, I was just making fun of that.
You're right, a Survivor high, aren't you? That sounds
I'm
so
sorry,
Survivor.
What?
That sounds so Survivor.
Nah, no, not really. Okay, let's get to this next one. The tournament final for the inaugural AEW TNT Championship featuring Mike Tyson. It's Cody versus Lance Archer with their respective managers in their respective corners.
Make the
Lance Archer argument, Ro.
My pick was Lance Archer because he was brought in as his big monster. He was touted as his big signing. And his first big shot when he fired was against Cody. So if he falls flat here against Cody at a really big match, then it's kind of going to sign a death sentence of sorts for his AEW run.
Okay. That's it lang naman. You call your shot, you come at Cody and then you lose. That's the argument na lang, no?
Yes, yeah, that makes sense naman.
It does.
For me, my counter argument is that Cody has been built as the, I guess, one of the top baby faces of AEW, if not the top baby face. And he fell short in the AEW World Championship chase. Justifiable naman, but there's that caveat that he can never challenge for the World Championship again. And if Cody falls flat here, parang wala na siyang, alam mo yun, wala nang credibility si Cody as yung top babyface.
But it's not just as top babyface. Na Cody as a whole has been, like as a character, has been losing a lot. And it's like, if you want some kind of uptick in how...
He's been losing a lot though, Camus. I would argue wins a lot, but he loses in the big matches. He loses when it matters. And I think that's equally damning.
That's sort of where I was going. Apparently, like,
I think it's okay for him to lose a lot in these big matches. So he's a baby face of mine. And then when you pair him in with Lance Archer, who's a huge monster, it's okay for him to lose to a guy like that. So I don't mind him losing because he can always pick up the momentum back up. That's what you can do with underdogs all the time.
Yeah, faces always look better when they're chasing after something. So I'm with Ro on this one. I feel like the bosses are going to put over newer talents, as they've been doing since AEW started. And Lance Archer is pretty new.
I like this. We haven't really had a back and forth or like contrasting opinions like this in a very long time. So can I just say this is pretty refreshing?
Because what if we had to fight about this? What? What if we had to fight about over?
Yeah, nothing really. We've all been aligned. It's just actually been pretty boring. So yeah. This is nice. It's good.
Because like for me, because it's
it's gotten to the point now whenever I watch Cody, it's like, oh, come on, just give it to him already. And I know, like, as a, from all sorts of angles, what makes sense is that you build that anticipation. But at this point, it's like, you're freaking bringing in Mike Tyson for this stuff, like for this type of show. You need a shot in the arm because, well, you do. You really just do at this point for them. So let's see. Like, trust the big guy to make the match interesting. But I want Cody to win. That's it.
Okay, so does Mike Tyson knock anybody out in this match, like he did HBK?
No. Feeling ko ceremony lang siya, tagalabas, taga-present lang nung TNT Championship, and then they make him get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, because they did the same thing with you know, with Brett and the AEW Championship that first time, diba?
Yeah.
Yep.
Just have him do that, exactly that, and don't hurt anyone.
All right, let's proceed to the Stadium Stampede match. It's basically an empty arena match featuring Matt Hardy and the Elite, Adam Page, Kenny Omega, Matt Jackson, and Nick Jackson versus the Inner Circle.
Feeling ko ito yung match na riot eh. You know what I mean? Like, just antics abound.
Like when... Yeah, I would probably watch this kasi ito yung siguro may pinaka cinematic upside.
Yeah. This sounds like this just has all the potential to go anywhere.
Yeah.
I just want a riot. Yeah.
Yeah. Ako din. I'm
gonna put my money. Sorry, Chino.
Sorry, I want just to see antics. Just make Matt Hardy kooky again, you know.
He's still kooky. He just doesn't have his drone anymore.
I just want him to, you know, get revenge for Vanguard 1. And make Jericho funny again, you know, make him a serious threat pala. So that's
they've been doing things super creative then, like in that parang no holds barred type of tag team match between Jericho and Sammy Guevara versus Kenny Omega and Matt Hardy. Diba yung one moment they got rid of Matt Hardy, he came out as Matt Hardy version 1, then they got rid of him and he came back up. The mask was, so that was pretty cool. And I think we're going to see more of the same here in this Stadium Stampede match.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, let's see what happens.
The faces win because the heels have been beating up on them for so long now, for sure.
Yeah, I say Elite.
And even in like traditional Elite like storytelling, it's about time for them to win.
All right, and let's top it all off with the AEW World Championship match. I think ito pa rin yung main event nila because I don't think AEW is gonna try to pull a page off of the WWE's playbook and bury the world title. It's gonna be John Moxley and Brody Lee. I'm excited for this because we've never seen Brody Lee in a main event matchup like this.
Exactly.
I also don't think he's gonna win.
No, yeah, of course. But I also don't see... I'm actually surprised that he's gotten such a strong push in his first tenure in AEW, in his first few months in AEW. So it'd be exciting, but I say John Moxley.
Yeah, Mox retains.
Yeah, this is one of those. It's a Moxley filler match. Just to pad his reign.
Yeah, and at the same time, it's like, okay, you give Brody Lee his chance to really tell people who are not familiar with his work how good he can be as a singles guy. Mission accomplished. You got the best dance partner.
Yeah, it also does a lot to legitimize the Dark Order as an actual threat, and instead of just a bunch of cronies just huddled together with this one dude, you know. Like, even if Brody Lee doesn't win, I feel like with his performance in this match is going to go a long way with helping the reputation of the Dark Order.
Yep. I mean, how many people are still in business after this, diba? I'm zooming out a lot. Na parang, how many chances will you get to legitimize a guy like Brody Lee who deserves it, diba? How many shows do you have left that people will be watching? So this is a good chance for them. This is a good chance for everyone to sort of step away from what they think wrestling can be and enjoy this.
No, feeling ko at the very least, it probably sets up another match. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Dark Order just invaded the ring and then caused a disqualification win for Mox. Tapos it just becomes a grittier feud from there.
But at the same time, it's like, I think they would want to, I'm trying to think of the word kasi na, it's more of a comma, like a hard comma on this instead of a full stop that they could do. Like, they can come back to it down the line, but
like
not
an ellipsis.
After. Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, I guess for me, it's just like, it's not like we're all going anywhere else, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there.
Right. Those are our picks. Those are our predictions for AEW Double or Nothing, which is happening on Sunday, Manila time. So Saturday in the States, May 23. It's at 8 a.m. Manila time if you want to catch it live off your favorite pirated streaming sites. In the meantime, we're going to be ending another episode of the podcast with our picks of the week. Right, I think Chino was the one who called dibs first, so I'll let you go first with your pick.
Okay, my pick actually changed a lot because I just finished SmackDown, right?
How many times?
Before recording. Okay. And I'm actually picking the promo of Sonya Deville with Dolph Ziggler looming in the background. Now, the reason I really, really like this is because they're giving a chance for Sonya Deville to actually shine and show off her personality and not just be, oh, I'm a lesbian fighter. You know, she's actually developed an edge now, thanks in part to her partnership with Dolph Ziggler. She's given a sinister edge to her character that allows her to be a true heel and somebody who just plays in between the lines with Mandy Rose. You know, before the whole Mandy and Otis thing happened, that's kind of where I thought she was. And so now this partnership with Dolph Ziggler allows her to be a true heel. Also, I like now there's a heterosexual partnership, a guy and a girl who aren't in a relationship with each other. I mean, because Sonya doesn't swing that way, for one, but also because Dolph Ziggler is at a point in his career when he doesn't need the title and he can just play mentor to another wrestler. And so I like the fact that he's mentoring Sonya Deville in that sense, and I want to see more of it.
All right, Gamas, what's your pick?
Yo, my pick is from this week's Raw. Seeing Apollo Crews and Kevin Owens back in the ring is making me happy. So their entire stretch against Zelina's group of guys and where that all goes, just it's a fun watch. Like for me, the Kevin Owens show bit is a fun watch for me. And you start, you just take those segments, the match itself, and from the Kevin Owens show onwards, oh, that's good shit. Oh, it's good shit. Like it's the type of stuff that makes me like able to tune in. Because there's still things worth watching, and that was one of them.
All right. How about you, Ro? Any pick of the week, Mo?
My pick of the week is simple. It's Thatcher Riddle from last week's NXT and their implosion. So watch that if you can.
Yay!
All right. So I was going to pick like Dark Side or The Last Ride, any of these documentaries. But since Chino passed on it, I'm going to recommend that you watch Daniel Bryan versus Drew Gulak on SmackDown.
Uh-huh.
No other explanation needed, really.
It's yeah, it's pretty good.
Match. It's always good. It's always good.
Yeah, and if that's Drew Gulak's last match in WWE, I don't mind him going out this way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be so much worse.
Yep. Right. There you have it. Another episode of the Wrestling Podcast in the books. Thank you so much to everybody who keeps the podcast alive, to our friends from Podcast Network Asia, to Babyface producer Ryan, who makes this happen. And if you want to check out more content here on Podcast Network Asia, you can check out Chino's brand new podcast called The Class Clown.
Yeah, that's Chino, right. Tell them about Class Clown with Chino Liao uploads a new episode every Wednesday and Friday. I do two a week. I believe this Wednesday this episode is actually with our good friend, Ange Pasumal, where we talk about screen writing, script writing. It's also in this same episode includes stand-up comedian and Solid OK writer Andre Bernardo. So we go really deep into what the essence of screenwriting is, how you work with a partner, and how newbie screenwriters come up with ideas, where they start out in the industry. And then this Friday's episode is all about finances. We talked to a financial expert, Jewel Alandoni, about financial planning, financial literacy. Also in that same episode is Ryan Remsarita. And the reason he's in that episode, kasi barache. Yun lang yung classification niya. He's a very cheap person, very Spartan lifestyle. So it makes her a good episode. And if you guys want to learn more about money, be on the lookout for that as well. And also, finally, guys, for next Wednesday's episode, you might actually like this one because I talked to a fitness trainer. That's right. Talk to a guy who exercises professionally. And he teaches
No,
I didn't do actual exercises. Okay, I just talked to him about exercise.
That's why you survived.
Why aren't you doing them?
Because I'm only here to host the podcast, Camus. I'm not here to actually. I talk to a chef. You don't see me cooking pizzas now, diba?
I was gonna ask because So you're making life changes? Like, actually trying to be a better human being?
I'm trying to come up with content. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to come up with content. If I talk to, I'll talk to a few more guys as the weeks progress kasi hindi pa naman matatapos tong corona quarantine. So it's just up there. Just go on to Spotify and type out Chino Liao or Class Clown and you'll see it up there.
All right, we've also got some new podcasts on the network, so you can check out this new one called All In. Teka lang, mamaya akin. Let's talk about this new one first. It's called All In, and it's brought to you by The Refined. It's hosted by Noel Naguiat and talks about the people who live their authentic self and live all in. And in the podcast, he talks to entrepreneurs and industry movers and shakers from all over the world. So check that out. And my new podcast, On Deck, which hasn't really dropped yet on Spotify because we're saving it. Two episodes in the bank. So the first one features Renzo Magnaya from Play FM. I got an industry legend in Delamar, formerly of The Morning Rush. You can also hear her currently on The Eavesdrop alongside Fran and Jelly Victor. So she joined me on a very revealing episode. And she gets into so many behind-the-scenes stories about her career, and her and Chico's partnership as they move between radio stations, the politics, and everything else that goes down over there.
I'm actually excited for that three.
Episode three, which I'll be recording tomorrow, is with my boss, my station manager at Wave 89.1, Sarge, or formerly known as Sergeant Pepper. He was the guy who spearheaded Magic's run to the top as the number one top 40 station in Metro Manila. So lots to learn, lots to talk about for sure tomorrow. So I'm going to drop all three episodes in one go by next week when I'm MIA after I get my wisdom teeth extracted. So there.
Wait, what? You can get dental surgery in this time?
Yes, you can. All right. On that note, we got to get out of here and put this episode in the books. Thank you very much for sticking around for this episode of the Wrestling Podcast. You know where to find us, at Wrestling2xPod on Twitter and at Wrestling Podcast on Facebook and on Instagram. Individually, the handles are @_StanC, @RoisWar, @CavemanCamus, and @ChinoSupersized. And on behalf of Babyface producer Ryan, Ro, Camus, and Chino, my name is Stan, saying we're out of here. Thank you very much, and please wash your goddamn hands.
Bye.
Peace.